We're going to start a new series, and the series is called What If. Say, what if? Say it with excitement. Say, what if? Okay, let's try to get everybody together with me. One, two, three. What if? Okay, that's good. And that is kind of the sense of the series. What if? And we're going to ask some questions. And those questions are obviously going to be probing questions, but I want you to start thinking. We did a series, the power series, and one of the things that we taught is the power of expectation. And when we start to think, see, you know what, we live in such a cynical world. You know, it's like, you know what, you know, and things will never change. It's always how it is. You know what I mean? Well, you know what? But if we can start to think the way God thinks, we'll start asking, we start to think the supernatural, we can start asking real probing questions. And this is a very, very, it's going to be a wonderful series as we start asking and thinking, hey, what if, here's a thought, what if we start changing our minds? Your mind's so powerful. You know what I mean? So, and I taught you this, but I thought this was so good. I'm going to use this as repetitiveness. Your spirit can't get any better than it is. Why? Because it's already perfect. All we have to do is get our spirit, our minds, and our bodies to catch up with our spirit. That's why it's so important to come to church, because at church we listen to the word. The Bible says the preaching of the word is anointed. And so we listen to the word and we get reminded, we get our mind washed, and hopefully if you come in with the right attitude, amen. Attitude determines your altitude. If you come in with the right attitude, you can live, you can walk out looking more like Jesus than you did when you come in. Let me say it in a better way. You can go out thinking more like Jesus than when you came in. And your thought is so critical, because how you think is how you act. How you think is how you act. Now, what difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world, because the Bible says what you sow is what you reap. Thank you, Peter. What you think is what you act, and what you sow is what you reap. So your thinking is critical to your living a life. How many want a good life? How many want a life where you're making a difference in people's life, people around you? You know what I mean? That when you die, people just don't go, oh, man, he loved the Lakers. You know what I mean? Oh, well, that's good. You know what I mean? I want somebody to say more than I like the Lakers. Amen. I want somebody to say when I die, you know what, more than I like the Lakers. Amen. Amen. Me too, brother. So I want to ask these questions, what if, because they're so important, because if we'll start asking some good questions, we can start probing, you know what, what's really going on, and we can start really thinking, start dreaming. Start dreaming. What if, and here's a question today, what if we chose the important over the urgent? What if we chose what was important over what was urgent? What would happen in our life? What would our lives look like? Let me ask you this. How many hours do you have in a day? 24. How many days do you have in a week? Everyone has the same amount of hours. Okay. But how you choose to spend those hours is absolutely critical to how your life goes. And let me illustrate what I'm talking about. And this is all we're talking about tonight. But we tend to live a life where we function in our life where we are too much reactionary and not proactive. So what do I mean by that? Well, I mean we go home and our house is on fire. How many of our house is on fire? That's urgent. Okay. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that important too? Oh, yeah, it absolutely is important. But you'll understand what I'm saying. So we quickly get the hose and we put out the fire. But then what would be important would be to take the shrubbery that caught on fire that's all dry around our house and start pulling it. Does that make sense? Okay, can I go deeper? Can I go to a place that, see, because I can give that example and you're like, oh, payment, Pastor. Okay. But can I go to a way more touchy example? Let me ask you this. It's about eating. Can I go to a more touch? See, now I get a no. So, and listen, and we're not here to judge anyone. You know what I mean? You know, how many know there can be, somebody who's, somebody who, weighs, 125 pounds and they just eat awful, right? So you can't tell a book by its cover, you know what? But all I'm saying is, and listen, as far as eating, you don't have to. You don't have to start eating wheat, drinking wheatgrass and blending wheatgrass and barley and, you know what I mean, and snails and oh, I heard it was good for you. You know what I mean? You know, organic. You know, you're out there in the garden looking for your snails. You know, hey, you don't have. You know, Pastor said. You know, wait. I'm just saying maybe you could just cut back in eating less fried food. You know what? Fried food is, tastes good. I know, but fried food is, you know what's the problem with fried food? They cook it in a fryer, amen? It's fried with grease. That's the problem with fried food. Okay, so maybe, and just think about it. If you just cut down, you'd be amazed. If you just cut down, maybe just, 25%. That can make a substantial change in your life. Because if you could cut down 25%, probably in the next 6 months, you'd be willing to go another 25%. Amen. Now you've cut down. See, all I'm saying is, one time, it's funny, I'll tell on my dad. My dad's with the Lord, but hey, Dad, sorry. But anyway, I'm going to tell on you anyway. But praise God, I love my dad. My dad was, I'm just saying, my dad, this is a true story, my dad was the most righteous man that I've ever met. And I was honored to have him as my dad. You're just saying that because you're, no, I'm telling you, he's the most righteous man I knew. But he watched Chariots of Fire one time. Remember Chariots of Fire? It was a great, if I don't get that movie, get that, go home. It'll be, you'll have a hard time finding it, but it's an awesome movie, because it's an old movie. But it's a great movie, really, really good movie. And he got all fired up. You catch the pun. But he got all fired up. And he lives kind of where I live in North Whittier, which is kind of north of Rio Hondo College and in La Puente. But he got fired up, went to Big Five on the way home from church here and got some shorts, got some running shoes. And the next day, true story, the next day, you know what? My dad wasn't really big into exercise, but the next day he runs from La Puente to Pico Rivera. You know what I mean? And the next 3 days he was in his bed, okay? True story. I don't know if it's 3 days, but for sure the next day he was just like, okay. So I'm not saying, you know what I mean? We don't have to like get crazy on this, but listen, all I'm saying is, because you're just like, oh, that can't even relate to your first example. Well, what I'm suggesting is you do what's important, and you save yourself from the urgent. You know what I mean? And just a little exercise and a little good eating can really substantially change the difference in how you feel, and can change the difference in how you look, how your clothes wear. But more important is you can stay away from the hospital. Amen, somebody. Amen. So, let me use an example. You know what? Maybe you've gotten in like 58,000 fights in the last 3 years with your spouse. And maybe if you would, watch this, if you would read a good book. Oh man, it's getting quiet in this church. Hello. And instead you're live a life, you know, on taking care of these urgent, where if you would back up and take care of what was important, then there wouldn't be so much urgent.
Amen.
Yeah. And I know all of us can relate to this in some way, and I know, and all these questions are going to be so helpful to us. But just spend just a little time right now. I'm going to give you a little time in thinking, what is it? What is the thing that you have neglected that is really, really, really important, and you've seen you putting out fires in the urgent because you neglected what was really, really important? What? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and tell me, but I want to give you just a couple minutes to think about that. What? What is it? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Luke, sorry. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And her sister, and she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's read the first four words together. But Martha was distracted. It's interesting because it doesn't say, watch this. It doesn't say, look what it says. Look what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, but Martha was distracted with much drinking. Don't say that, does it? Notice what it doesn't say. But Martha was distracted because she was in the back room watching too much television. Now, I'm not saying, especially when we talk about entertainment. Entertainment might be the very thing that is keeping you from what you need to get on the ball with. Listen, you can get, if you turn on the internet, you could probably hear the sucking sound. Do you hear it? Because it has a tendency to suck your time away. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden just looking at this and looking at that and looking at this, and you're just like, oh, you know what I mean? And so don't get me wrong, you know what? But in this example, it's interesting because she was distracted, but what was she distracted with? Much serving. Again, please, in our society, there is such a pull to entertainment. And we have a lot of things that help us, you know, like dishwashers and sewing machines. Well, most people don't even know what a sewing machine is. But anyway, look it up on the internet. You know, there you go. But dishwashers and, you know what, and lawnmowers and and things that wash your clothes and dryers and irons and all kinds of electric irons and all these things that are great for us in that they save us so much time. You know, I mean, if you go back in time, you know, your great grandmother didn't have so much time on her hands. She was busy, you know what I mean? But thank God for the conveniences that we have. But in this example, she was distracted with much serving. Well, the great answer, distracted from what? Distracted from Jesus, right? Her sister is sitting at his feet, at Jesus' feet, listening to the word. You know, what distracts you from Jesus? What distracts you from spending time in the word? And if I asked you, and this is poignant, but if I asked you, how many, you know what, I'm setting you up, so be careful not to say, oh, I would. You know what I mean? I'm just asking. Let me ask first. And don't answer, because I'm going to set you up. For most of us, if I said, tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning, Jesus is going to be at your door. But he's not going to come in. He's just going to knock at the door. And you know what? And because he wants to come in and have breakfast with you. I mean, we'd just go like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? And you'd be, you know what? And you'd go home. I mean, in your mind, you think, man, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get up early. And I'm going to be there because when Jesus is coming tomorrow at 5. You know what I mean? Okay. But before you get too excited to say yes, you know what I mean? Knowing that for sure, can I remind you something? Jesus was at your door this morning at 5, knocking at the door. Matter of fact, if you turn to Revelation, and let me just, you turn there when you get home, but if you turn to Revelation in the text that talks about, we use it all the time, and we talk about someone who doesn't know Christ, and we say, God is knocking at the door. And he's asking you to let him in. But if you look at the text, you know what? It's okay. We can use that as a text, and it's certainly okay, and certainly people come to Christ using that text. But can I tell you what? That's not even what Jesus is talking about there. It's not even what he's talking about. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about what I said. Jesus is at your door knocking. It's talking to people who already saved. Look it up, read it, look at the context. And what it's talking about is people who are already in the family of God. And Jesus, just because you're in your, don't raise your hands on this. Don't raise your hands on this. Don't raise, somebody's gonna raise your hand anyway. You're like, that's right, I have to confess. You know. How many have, don't raise your hand on this. How many have people in your family you don't want to have dinner with? You know what I mean? I'm just saying. You know what I mean? But let me tell you what. You are not like that to Jesus. With all your imperfections, Jesus wants to, Old King James Version, Jesus wants to sup with you. You know what that means? It means, if it's breakfast, Jesus wants to have an egg sandwich with you. You know what I mean? If it's lunch, Jesus wants to have, you know what, a Tommy's burger with you. I thought you were talking about getting healthy. Okay. You can eat one Tommy's burger a week, okay? One Tommy's burger. Pastor said I could eat one a week. Okay. Okay. Salad. Yeah, you can't even find salad at Tommy's. Anyway, different. We're digressing here. But listen. But Jesus is at your door. Listen to me. He's at your door. Pastor, you said he's at my door at 5? Yeah. He's at your door at 4. He's at your door at 5. He's at your door at 6. He's at your door at 7. When can you have time for him? Because when you can have time for him, he'll be there. He's already there. And how do you do that? You know what? You just get up early. You know what? And you find a place. You know what? When I started doing this, you know what? I went from my bed. I told you this story. I went from my bed. Holy Spirit started convicting me and saying, you need to spend time, you know what, in the morning with the Lord. And I went from my bed, which I would set the alarm early in the morning. And I went from my bed, which is a great place. It was nice and cozy, you know what I mean, to the couch, which was also nice as cozy. It wasn't as cozy as my bed, but at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was cozy enough. And I went from I went from sleeping in my bed to sleeping on the couch. And you know what? I did that for about 3 weeks, and the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You're sleeping through breakfast with me. And Pastor, what did you do? I went from my bed to outside. Why'd you go outside? Because it was cold outside. You know what? And I took a jacket, but it was cold, and I didn't go to sleep because I walked around. And I did that over and over and over again till I fell in love with hanging out with Jesus. See, your flesh is in love with sleeping. Can I tell you what? There is nothing better than hanging out with Jesus. Okay, listen, this is for the people watching on the Facebook. Okay, this isn't for any of you. Some of you saw me wink there, huh? Anyway, you saw it on. Anyway, I'm saying, listen, but you don't know that. But you don't know that. But you don't know that. Because you haven't developed that habit in your life. But once you develop that habit, you say, do you still go outside? Uh-uh, I go on that nice, nice, comfortable couch. You know what? But I don't sleep on the couch anymore. I pray on the couch. Because praying to God is better than sleeping. For many years, I didn't know that. So Martha is serving when her sister is enjoying the word. Okay. And I don't know what she was making. But here's what I know. She, you know what, thought that her sister, she was going to bring correction on her sister. And it's so interesting. How many know we can get arrogant in our craziness? So watch this. Oh, watch this lady. She's kind of crazy. Watch this. So she goes to Jesus, and she's mad at her sister. But you know who she's going to get to yell at her sister? She's gonna recruit Jesus. Hey, Jesus! You know what I mean? And how many, I'm just asking, how many think she did this calmly? How many think she went up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, could you tell my sister, you know what, to do something and help? I don't know. Maybe she did. And I don't know because I don't see it in the text, but I don't think that's how she acted. I think this is a woman who's, and think about how sisters can talk to sisters. You know what I mean? I think this lady was back there doing the chimichangas, and it was hot, and you know what, and she was doing the salsa, and Jesus was over, so she didn't want to just have, you know what, red salsa. She wanted to have, you know, because you don't know, you know, you got to have hot salsa, but you got to have mild salsa too. Come on, ladies, help me out, somebody. You mean? So she, you know what I mean? And you don't want to just, you know, go get the paste picante, you know what I mean? You want to get, you know, you want some good stuff, so you got to chop, you know, what's the salsa that has, what do they call it when it's, oh man, pico de gallo, man. And how many know pico de gallo, man? You got to chop this and chop that and chop that. And you know what? I don't know. She might have been chopping, you know what? And she might have chopped one of her fingers, you know what I mean? It's like, where's my sister? I don't know, but that's what, you know what? We can, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll get out the video and we'll watch it. How many know the Bible says, you know what, but how many know our Bible says that by every word, you know what, that you utter, you're going to be judged on. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? This stuff is recorded. That's what it tells me. How many, sometimes we read the Bible like, hey, there's some stuff in there. So all I'm saying is I think she's coming out and she's freaking out, you know what? And Jesus, think about this, you know what? And Jesus, this happens to me so many times, and I'm like, I got the perfect thing to say to my wife. It's like, God, we do the same thing, do we not, with our spouses? You know, God, you know what? Correct my silly husband. God, it's, you know what? It's enough. You know what I mean? My wife. And God's like, hey, dude, we're going to have a little talk. But I'm not going to talk to you about Tamara. We're going to talk about somebody. But I'm thinking, and you know what? I'm thinking, who? You know, who are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about you. That's what happens in the text. That's what happens in the text. How many know we walk around and we see other people's faults really good? You know what I mean? You know, when I was in high school, you know, when I was high school, we hung out in this one area. And you know what? Truth is, I didn't really do it so much, but I was a part of it. You know what I mean? But I had friends, and this person would walk by, and after they get certain amount, 8 steps, you know what? We'd start laughing at their haircut. You know what I mean? And then this person would walk by and would think, oh, who dresses them? You know what? Their grandma, you know what I mean? And we just, that's what we do for lunch. We just kind of criticize everyone. You know, you're like, look at me, who never did that? Okay, praise God. You were more holy than I when I was in high school, but whatever. But how many know we have a tendency to see other people's faults many times way faster than we can see our own faults? And Jesus says, hey, let's talk, but Martha, I don't want to talk to you about Mary. My question is, why in the world aren't you out here with her? That's a good question, isn't it? Nah. Let me get back to the question. See, think about it for a minute. And here's my point. Maybe, you know, if I ask you, and I'm not going to, again, I don't want you to raise your hand, but if I ask you, hey, how many of you have some chaos in your life, man? And if you're honest, man, hands would go up all over. And here's all I'm suggesting. Maybe, I say maybe, but I say that facetiously. Maybe there's chaos in your life because you got so used to taking care of the urgent instead of what was most important. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, that's the most important. That's what Jesus, in the text, he's telling us, let me tell you what's the most important. My words are the most important. And you spent two things, and it's all there. Spending time, she's at Jesus' feet. You're spending time with Jesus, and you're spending time in his word. Most important thing. And we sit there and think, man, it would be so cool if Jesus come over to my house and if I could hear what he said. Are you kidding me? You can hear what you say. He said. I listened to what Jesus said. And listen, not only do I listen to what Jesus said, but I listen to it with an English accent. See, you know what? You can listen to Jesus' words. We have the technology. You can hear what Jesus has to say. You know what? You get this Bible app. It's got all kinds of, you know what? It'll read you the word. It's so awesome. But Jesus tells you what's the most important. Let me tell you what the most important. Let me say this to you. If you'd start spending time with Jesus, your life will get better. Amen. Well, Preston, you don't know what's going on in my life. I'm not sweating you. I'm not saying your life's not chaotic. I'm saying, if we were honest, there's a degree of chaos that can be taken out of your life as you start putting Jesus in your life. I don't believe that. Okay, keep on doing your thing. I believe Jesus. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And if you look at the text, you know what I mean? I know the text, he's talking about provision. But I also know in the text, you know what he's really talking about? He's really talking about worry. How many know there's nobody in heaven? Just, you know, the angel Gabriel's not like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, we're running out of room up here. You know, nobody's worrying about nothing up in heaven. That's how we ought to live. That's how we ought to live. I said, that's how we ought to live. Amen. All right. Are you learning some stuff?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go over my points quickly. Okay. Number one. Or let me ask this question first. How do you choose the important? How do you choose the important? Well, first, I suggest that you do this. Create an artificial deadline. Create an artificial deadline. Create an artificial, what is, guys, go to my first point. Create an artificial deadline. What's an artificial deadline? An artificial deadline is, so the due date is Saturday, but you create an artificial deadline that whatever is going to be due, you're going to have it done by Thursday. Now, this is real practical, but it will free your life up. Because let me tell you what it does. You start to hold yourself accountable to take care of things that need to be taken care of. How many know there are some things you got to take care of? And how many have things that need to be taken care of, but you don't want to take, you can raise your hand on this one. Need to be taken care of, but you don't want to take care of them. Okay, that's right. Okay, whatever they are, okay. Create an artificial deadline. Because what you have a tendency to do is procrastinate those things. You know what I mean? And so they are either come in late or they come in, you know what, you do it with then they come in halfway. You know what, you're chaotic. It adds all this stress to your life, and you end up, you know what, living this life of just putting out fires. Because instead of putting an artificial, how many ever had something done? How many ever this happened? You're in bed, you know what, it's late at night, and you're not, somebody turned the fan on. You don't even want the fan on, you know what I mean? And it's going, and the fan starts to squeak. You know what I mean? And it's going, and every time it hits and this used to happen to me all the time. And I'd lay in bed for 58 minutes, just going, and then after 58 minutes, I'm finally you know what I mean? I want to throw a hammer at it. You know, finally, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to. But what I've learned to do is instead of lying in that bed, if there's something, I get up right away and take care of it. Well, why is that good? Because now I got 58 minutes that I am sleeping instead of being annoyed by an ant. And you know what it is? You know, I mean, I'm being real, real upfront, but you know what it is? I'm not calling anybody this. I'm just exposing what it was in my life. You know what it was? It was laziness. It was just pure laziness. I just didn't want to think about it. And how many know that's foolishness? So I learned to just get up. So I'm suggesting create this deadline and create it before it has to be due. And here's what will happen in your life. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll get these things done, and now they're not going to be done last minute. So if you want to make any changes, you know what? You can make those changes. You know what? This, what I was going to prepare for you today was all done yesterday. And so, well, what did you do? Trust me, there's a lot of work to do around here. But what I'm saying is it opens itself up to me being able to go over it today. And if I want to make any changes or if something, a lot of times, you ask the sound guys, a lot of times I'll have like scripture, but by the time, but I'll go back to them and say, hey, you know what, add this one and add, well, when did it get added? It got added because it was done already. Is this making sense? Okay, number one, create artificial deadlines. Number two, be relentless. Relentlessly selective in your, I put yes, but I want to say, be relentlessly selective in your yeses. Ruthlessly, I'm right. Be ruthlessly selective in your yeses. In other words, when you say, oh, would you, yes, 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 yes. You can spread yourself so thin. Hello? You know what? I heard, and this is just a great, I love his integrity. And this pastor, he wanted this position at this church. It was a good church, and it was quite a large church, and it was quite a, you know what? And he was interviewing for the church, and the search committee had some questions, and they had a whole what do they call that, a job description? They had a job description, but when he went into the interview, he said, guys, I got to be honest with you. If I do everything that's on this job description, there's going to be a big deficit. And the deficit is, I'm not going to be able to have any time to take care of my family. You know what? My wife and my kids. And that's a problem because you don't want a pastor who is not focused on his wife and his kids. And so in this interview process, he said, I want to be honest with you. And what's my point? My point is this pastor isn't saying, oh, you look at it, you know, do this. Yes, yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do that. Yes, I can do this. Yes, 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 yes. And now, you know what? In reality, how many know reality is going to come? And now, you know what? They're scratching their heads because he's not doing anything, or he's trying to do it all, and he's neglecting what's really important. Hello? When I first came to this church, one of the things I did is I let the leadership know, hey, I really want to focus on two things and two things only. Because we really didn't have a kids department. We didn't have any youth, you know what? And there were a lot of things that we could focus on. But I was bivocational already. And I knew I had to be very strategic to say, this is what I want to do. And let me tell you what the this was. The this is I want to really focus on creating services that are going to be impactful for the people who come. That's still a really high priority on our list here at Hope. You know what? And so we are very, very purposeful in what we do and the order we do it and how we do it and why we do it. We spend a lot of time in like this. A lot of time went into this service tonight. Why? Because it's really, really important to us. But I'm just saying, and
listen, to have an attitude to serve is a great attitude. I'm not saying don't have one. You know what I mean? So how many know some people, they can never be used by God because they're just too busy. And they're busy with this and busy with that and busy with that. And they should really think about actually looking at that. They should really say some no's that they can say some yeses to God. Amen? Amen. You know what I mean? How many know the love of money is the root of all evil? Hello? You know what? Pastor, I'm making a lot of money. Well, are you serving God? Amen? Are you serving God? You know what I mean? Or watch this, or we can get involved in, I'll stop there. Okay. All I'm saying is, you know what? Pay attention to what you're saying yes to. Listen, let me catch this point because it's important. What I'm trying to teach you is not just to say no to people. I am teaching you that. You need to say some no's. But here's the other thing I want you to catch. I don't want you to miss this. Qualify who you're saying yes to. And make sure, you know what, on the top of the list is God. Amen. All right. Do what matters most. It's really, I've already said it. I'm just saying it a different way. What's the most important? Well, Jesus told us what the most important thing is. The most important thing is, he even said it to Martha. You can look it up. Here's what he said to Martha. He said, one thing is needed. Yeah. Can I tell you what you need to do? Yeah. Tonight? Tomorrow? Just one thing. Pastor, you don't know my life. No. I'm telling you, the truth. How many believe Jesus? Okay, well, Jesus said, you only need to do one thing. I don't get that, Pastor. I got so many things. I got responsibilities. I got kids. I got a wife. I got a husband. If that's you, you still only have one thing to do. And let me teach it. Here's what he's saying. If you take care of that thing, everything else is going to take care of itself. What's that? There's a book there. Well, Jesus said it. I'm sure it's a great book. One thing is needed. And if you'll take care of that thing, let me tell you what, you're going to be a way better husband. I don't know what happened. I've just spent time with Jesus, and all of a sudden, my relationship with my wife got better. I don't know. It's a miracle. No, it's not. Jesus, it is supernatural. I'll say it that way. But Jesus told you that. Oh, my business. I just all of a sudden, you know what? My business. Because here's what's happened. Jesus has all the answers. You know what? Reading this book and reading that book and reading this book, trying to figure out how to run your business. Here, why don't you spend some time with Jesus? He'll give you a metrics on how to do stuff. Amen. Amen. Whoa. Okay. If you choose what's important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. And you will be in a better equipped place to deal with those things that are urgent. Sometimes, you know what? How many know life happens? Sometimes I'm not saying that if you spend more time with Jesus, you're not going to have any fires. Here's what I'm saying. You're going to have a plan for the fire. What I am saying, you will have less fire. A, you'll have less fires. B, you're going to be ready prepared. What if? I'll close with what I started on. What if we choose what's important over what's urgent? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May we be inspired tonight by your confrontation that happened so long ago with this lady. May we slow down, that we could hear the knock on our door from Jesus. May we open that door to him and let him in. and spend some time with him, that our life, that the quality of our life could go up. And the stress level in our life would go down. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.